We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back, friends. This is Stack and Pennies presented by Mobile One. Las Vegas edition. Young Money puts all his chips on the table and punches his ticket to Phoenix. That five team was strong. We grinded out a day. Didn't have much speed, but we came away with another top 20. So I'm somewhat happy about that. We had some pit row boats and woes that we'll break down as well. And Zane Smith going cup racing next year with a Spire Trackhouse collaboration. And also trying to win his second Truck Series title in a row right here on Stack and Pennies. Buckle up. It's about to be a great show.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
Hello, friends. I'm Corey the Joy, driver of the number 7 Chevy Camaro P18-19. I had a spot in the airplane. They gave it back the following day, so I went from P18 to P19, and it's just top 20. To my right, Daniel Trotta.
Hi, boys.
Hello.
Hi.
You're dressed up. You're emceeing an event up here at the Hall of Fame for the RTA.
Yes.
Anything substantial? Did MJ show up?
MJ was not there, but all of his people. It's nice to own a shoe company, I guess, because Steve Aletta said he has like 400 pair of J's. Wow. I mean, I guess they're handing them out over there, so I'm going to try to get some.
Since we're on the Air Jordan topic, I saw Bubba at the fuel stop in Oklahoma City on the way back at like 1 o'clock in the morning. He was wearing some sort of J's I've never seen before. I said, what are those? I don't know. I said, do they just show up in the mail? He goes, no, I had to buy 5 pairs last week.
Hmm. Why? Why do you have to buy them?
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he didn't ask. I was confused by that. Hmm. Or he was just bullshitting me. Just
pulling your yanking your chain.
He probably doesn't want to make you feel bad.
Probably.
I'm guessing boxes show up. Reddick's had Instagram stories where, like, he's in the living room playing with baby Bo and Alexa, and there's just
a pallet.
A coffee table full.
It's come a long way because he was wearing his wife's shoes.
They can share the same shoe, actually. He confirmed that on the show.
Yeah, I was like, what are they, purple? Oh, yeah, they're my girlfriend's.
I guess that's that's efficient. If, like, one of your opening questions to your future wife, hey, what size shoe are you? 8.5? Perfect. Okay. Signed, sealed, and delivered.
Guy wheels, whatever. He can wear whatever shoes he wants.
Did you guys ever have those, like the sneakers with the
Heelys?
Yeah.
I did not.
No,
I did
soaps.
I would have,
the soaps,
I would have
one you can
broken
grind.
My leg if I had one of those.
Yeah, it's soap.
What's the most obscure toy that they used to make? They like the unsafe ones.
I had shoes in like grade school that had like grinding pads in them, like plastic pads. They were called soaps, and we used to just like at recess like grind on the bike rack. It was like a thing. That was cool.
I know you can't tell from kickball, but I actually used to be kind of athletic. And waiting for you to say, no.
No, I wouldn't disagree with that.
Yeah, we're here.
Thanks.
We're not here.
I'll tell you off
remember
the
team. Like the, what was it where you pump them?
Reebok pumps.
And I really thought those were going to give me like an inch like of air. Because basketball was I was like, yeah, I'm going to be unstoppable. I don't know.
Did you ask Loletta why the Hornets suck?
You got to let that one go.
I was just wondering.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
At what point of the day did you change a left front tire and you make the shock change lengths from when it went on the
car? He was just throwing bombs over there and the shock couldn't take it.
Stretching it out.
I have. Everybody like kind of reached out to me. Like I had a couple people that were flying home. Right. We get on the plane. Had a really awkward thing happen on the last pit stop, which is just typical 12 car craziness. But we had a great day on pit road other than that. And landing in Tulsa. You know, like when you start getting close to the ground, your phone goes off. Mm. I get like from a friend that says WTF. And I'm like, huh? DQ'd. I'm like, who? You guys. And I'm like, huh, bad deal. Like, Hassler, like, our group is not like a group that messes around, right? It's not like other groups that mess around quite a bit.
You might have not known, but there's no way. Do you think? Like, did the whole Penske crew take off and have no clue? They were told before they left, right?
The whole pit crew plane was gone.
Crew plane was gone.
Yeah,
okay.
but it's two separate, like, it's a separate world. Like, I'm so disconnected from that side.
Okay, gotcha.
That, like, okay, I've put enough shocks on strut boards working on the pull-down rig that I understand, like, okay, it didn't fit on the strut board, but it was just a weird situation because, like, the left front shock is not the one. Like, if it was the left rear shock too short, that's a
yes.
That's a different game. But the if you're a short track person, the way these cup cars run, it's completely opposite. It's nose up, ass down,
because
you're trying to seal the diffuser. So if your left front shock is too short, it's not good. You want it to be longer.
Yeah.
But rules are rules, and they, you know, I guess there was a lot of conversation about it, and they came
NASCAR
back and
completely
did the
takes ownership, right, and said the template was off, and wanted to reinstate all your points, and gave you stage points and finish back, and wants to do the right thing, and
it's a big
vows
deal.
It'll never happen again. We have never seen this before. One, it was only the second time a car in the playoffs has ever been DQ'd, but the first time in NASCAR history, a disqualified team has then
been reinstated without an appeal.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was our
question.
They didn't
have to
appeal it. Ryan, not to have you speak for the whole organization, but maybe just your standpoint. Corey and I were talking about it on SiriusXM today. The emotional roller coaster that takes you guys on, thinking that you go from minus 17 to minus 56, and then you get your points back, and you're back in the hunt psychologically in the round of eight with two to go.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm getting older or what, but, like, the pressure of the playoffs, especially in the round of eight, is, like, real. And then you go, I had a great day on Sunday, and you leave, and it's not like we were 20 to the good, right? We're still 17 back. It's going to be a pretty long road to hoe. We had a great day, right? We got stage points in both stages, finished sixth. By all means, that's a great day, and we lost points to where we were. So it wasn't, like, a huge emotional swing, but, like, everybody's like, oh, what'd they say? I got one group text from Hassler, and he was like, we'll just have to go win one, boys. That was it. And that was the only thing. And then that came up yesterday, and I screenshotted it and sent it in our pit crew chat with our pit coach and said, we're back, baby. And that was like but for us, like, the way that the teams work, I'm completely disconnected from that. Like, it's, we are there to do the best pit stops that we can, no matter if we're 20 points to the good, 56 points to the bad, on the cut line. Like, you have to attack the car the same way when it comes in the pit box every time, and understand down and distance, but it's like, it doesn't change my job per se where we're at in points. So,
but just your outlook on getting the Phoenix,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, it was tough to be like, it was like, huh, okay, well, like, my mind is always like, okay, so now we're 56 back. The goal is to win. So, like, we just have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about stage points and this and that. Like, let's just go balls to the wall. But then it was like, okay, hey, we're back in it. Still pretty much the same thing, that we just don't have to win. We can see if somebody else has an issue or kind of mitigate the race like that. But, yeah, I don't know. I was pretty stoked on it. I want to win a championship. So
I'm happy for you guys. I'm happy that NASCAR did the right thing and owned up to it and was so transparent, you know, of where the issue was. And because, you know, people then want to know, it's always like, well, did they cheat? You know, and to clear Penske's name of not doing anything nefarious with the shock, I thought was very on board, because they could have just said, we're resending it, and not said another word. But they were extremely transparent publicly, you know, to go on record and say it was not a team Penske issue at all.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, when I saw it was a left front, it made me instantly scratch my head like, there's not much juice. And surely at this round of the playoffs and the position that those guys are in, they're not going to do something that's not worth the squeeze, right? If I saw it as a left rear shock, it's like, okay, well, 50 thousandths of a shorter shock would be a ton for just the diffuser sealing up more, getting the back of the car down, making more downforce. But a left front, I was like, that doesn't make much sense to me. So interested to hear.
They're back in it.
They're back in it.
They're back. Round
but,
of eight dogs.
Like he just said, you know, it's still they're still not in a great position because they have a great day, get stage points in both, run just outside the top five, and with the five winning, you still can lose ground to the cut line. So that just goes to show how elite you have to be and almost how perfect you have to be in this round to be able to punch your ticket with making up the gap if you don't have those stage points in your pocket. Quick recap of my day. Qualified 28th. Felt like we just had a parachute on the back of our car all weekend. Just didn't. Balance was pretty decent. The track kind of came back to us towards the end of the day. Though we just scrapped and clawed and didn't hit nothing and had good pit strategy and got track position late and held on to it for our 17th top 20 of the year, which is two more than my career high, which was last year, which I didn't feel like we ran well very good at all last year. Still continued, knock on wood, our only car of the series that doesn't have a DNQ or DNF.
You about did.
I about did because holy moly. Buckle up for this week's Corey Close Call of the Week. Down the straightaway here. So I'm Pat. You can't see from the video.
Okay,
the 14 car is on my right side. And I've been trying to clear this guy for three laps. So I commit to drive it in here and slide job him. So I'm in the act of sliding. Meanwhile, the 42's in the fence. Holy shit, watch out. Woo! Ah! I'm through it, Harry.
The rule is you aim right for him.
I did aim right for him because the combination of me committing to
look at this again, look at this slow
right here. I thought he was backing up into the fence, like, oh gosh, I'm done. Nope, skirt through the smoke, ladies and gentlemen. That team Negu Chevy driving off into
what
the sunset.
What are you thinking right there?
Holy, holy, whoo, thank you, sweet baby Jesus.
That's a good future teammate, Hosvar, getting out of your way like that.
Thank you, yeah, appreciate that. So, driver of the 77 next year, Carson Hosvar got up into the fence and really caused a pucker factor for me because when like as the car is in a bit of a four-wheel slide as I'm looking in the mirror to make sure I clear the 14 in kind of like a four-wheel slide, he's spinning out, so I'm trying to slow the car down with the brake, but the more brake I use, the more sideways it gets, so I literally had nowhere to go but the wall, and if he would have backed up in the fence, it would have been a huge wreck. Luckily, the Lord part of the Red Sea, and we kept on going. So that was Corey's close call of the week. So, yeah, that was wild.
One of the rare mistakes for Carson in a cup car, in this next-gen car.
Bumpy up there. He tried ripping the top a little bit too much. It doesn't take much to slip the tire and be in the fence with these things.
Hey, listen, if you're Spire, you're thinking learn in a legacy car.
Yeah, no doubt. John Hunter's in the 42 car this week. They're giving him a little bit of a one-shot. Not one shot because he's going to be driving that car next year, but
head start, yeah.
Little head start. Found that interesting, maybe just coincidental, that he filled in for Bubba in this race last year. So he's getting a little bit extra cup seat time at Miami.
Probably the last time you ever see John Hunter drive a Chevrolet.
Maybe probably
one
so.
And only time.
Take note, buy the diecast, ladies and gentlemen.
Buy the diecast.
But yeah, I was proud of how he fought because it wasn't one of our best days. We generally, if we have a good balance like we had, I feel like we could be a top 15 car, but we weren't. But we got three more. We can get three more people in points, so we're trying to get to 23rd in points. Potentially 22nd is feasible. Unfortunately, from Gateway, Carson drove my car, broke a rotor. They finished dead last. I finished 21st, so I look at driver's points, right? I get excited. I look past somebody. I'm 25th in driver's points. The 7 car is like 20 points behind that, so we have to work a little bit harder to get those couple.
Because you're measured on owners, right?
You're paid off
owners. Oh, so the 7 car has a DNF.
Correct.
Just you don't.
Yeah, that's all I'm concerned about.
Okay.
Personal record versus team payout at the end of the
year. What I sat on Reddit was there's only been 31 or 32 people that have finished the season with no DNF, so I don't want to speak too soon.
The heat is on.
The heat's
so
on.
So who are you fighting to get to 22nd maybe? Like, who are the guys right in front of you?
So I just passed Justin Haley in driver's points, but he's still ahead of us. So the 31, the 41, and the 2 are all within 20 points.
Wow.
It's going to come down to Phoenix, and if you can execute, you know, I think that everybody will be within 3 or 4 spots come Phoenix. If you finish 26th, I believe the points payout is 0, and it's a six-figure difference between 25th and 26th to the team. So I'm going to have to tighten the old belts and get after it. Faux show. What else we got?
You surprised that of the eight playoff teams, no one had significant issues. I mean, all playoff cars finished inside the top 11. You didn't see speeding penalties. You didn't see loose wheels. I mean, I know we said going into this round of eight, like it's the best of the best. Kind of felt like they proved it Sunday.
Well, I called it spare change, didn't I? I said your eight playoff guys are going to be in the top 10.
And you did say 11. That.
I did say that. There's a reason why those guys are in the top eight, because they are the fastest ones. Vegas is pretty much a straight up measuring stick of how fast you can make your car go, how good your mile and a half program is, obviously, and how much mechanical grip you're making. And everybody brings their best stuff to this race because little Larry McNugget, the last five winners of the first round of eight, has become champion.
Three of the last five years.
Oh, three of the last five? That's pretty good ratio.
Pretty good ratio.
I think that, I'm not good at math, but I think it's
Larson is one of those three. So.
Yeah, and Joey was last year.
And Joey's
year.
The other two.
Yeah.
He did it in 2018 and 2022.
So, a lot of confidence out of that five team.
Ooh, dude, he was all but wrecked.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, but that's the difference between him and everybody else. Not everybody else, but most everybody else.
No, no,
like, he was all
mortals.
But wrecked.
He was wrecked.
And then he's like, wins the stage. Like, I'm like, well, he's done. Whoa, Link. Nope. Just a little scratch on the bumper. He's going to come back and win the stage.
Dude. And you know, just because the drivers aren't in there like freaking swatting flies and hanging on like you used to see, you know, Cale Yarborough, doesn't mean that your hands aren't on like the verge of slipping the right rear tire and busting your ass. So out of two, it gets real slick if you have a little bit too much wheel input and you're on the verge of slipping the right rear and it just comes around. And you hear the in-car camera on NASCAR.com's app was spectacular. And if there's 36 drivers in the race, 35 of them are turning to the right. So at the same time, the rear bumper would hit the wall. You'd tank slap it and hit the right front and your day'd be done. But he gasses it up and is driving it sideways, and the wheel was somewhat straight. And at the same time he hits the right quarter of the fence, he stands on the brake pedal and just straightens the car back up. I was like, Jesus, how do you even think in the moment? Just by driving a race car four races.
You know how many times he's backed it in the fence quarter panel deep or with the right rear tire?
A lot.
Right? Like, that's what he does, right?
Yeah.
Like,
so
that's interesting
could have been
to
a,
me, though, that you went back. You wanted to see how
he did
it.
Made 800 pounds of brake pressure, locked to the left front tire up, and the car just straightens back out.
In the
little
moment,
lucky.
He's not, like, thinking that.
No,
he's
you are just
driving it, and that's what.
You think that was pure instinct?
Yes.
Yeah.
That he just knows exactly what to do?
No. That was 60% instinct, 40% luck. Because if he would have been lower on the racetrack than he was, he'd have spun out. Because the wall straightened him up. But the timing of his hands when he hit the wall, when he hit the brake pedal to straighten the car back up, was all instinct and feel. But if he'd have been 3 feet lower, then he'd have just spun out. He's not saving it without the wall's help.
Cliff would have given him an earful.
Oh, my goodness.
You cannot spin out in the round of eight.
What do you think he said when he won and got locked into Phoenix?
They asked him. I saw a clip where they asked him, Alex Weaver asked him to rate the save. And he said, oh, I'll give it a 9.4 because we got damage and the car got loose. It would have been a 10, but he hit the fence. Dude, but his successful weekend started, like, Larson's weekend started in practice when he felt that chunk of the tire came out, right? Because he felt it and pitted. The 9 car didn't, backed in the fence, and they never broke the top 20 all day.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was mired back there with me all day. Him and I just racing our b****s off for 27.
Yeah, we were right there next to him in pit stalls. It was brutal. But, like, one thing that was really pertinent for the weekend, two restart violation calls.
Yeah, John Mendinger and Chase Elliott. They tell you in the driver's meeting. Some people can say, oh, they didn't warn me, and I wasn't really laying back. They tell you twice in the driver's meeting. Hey, no laying back. So they tell you in the driver's meeting. Eld Sawyer actually tells it on the microphone. And they actually tell you on the driver's meeting video, sometimes narrated by Chuck, sometimes narrated by Weaver. You have two warnings. So don't lay back.
Yeah, you get your warning in the driver's meeting.
You get two warnings.
Like, laying back is so much more important now than it ever has been because you have less horsepower. So on a restart, right, if you get if you have 2 mile an hour faster, like Larson, everybody thought he had a problem, but he just lost momentum. And these cars are so momentum-based now that he lost three spots until it equalized.
And his tires were probably 90 degrees hotter than his front tires at that point in time, too.
Yeah. I'm not trying to get too technical.
Oh, okay.
He lost some mo. But, yeah, no, they
– And like, some rubber.
Yeah, it's just can't do it. And I think that's a little bit of a like a shot across the bow to everybody. Like, hey, these next three races, don't mess around.
No. Can't mess around. MTJ rebounded a little bit. He had a dire day going. I'm not putting my money on the best playoff finish that he's had.
But
first top 15 since Watkins Glen.
First top 10 since Watkins Glen.
Or first top, yeah.
Did he finish in top 10?
Ninth.
Who finished 11th? A 17?
Busher.
He was back there with me first.
But still, like, I think his average, Larry said his average running position all day was 10th. Didn't feel that way.
No, he was back there a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the pit call from James Small that he admits was horrible and he should have never done that. They should have come in and taken tires and Truex was a sitting duck and hindsight always being 20/20, but I just feel like psychologically that team, they're not trending in the right direction.
I would agree with that. I am not putting my money on the 19 to be racing for anything substantial in Phoenix.
What a bracket buster Truex is. You know how many people probably put him in there after winning the regular season championship?
He was leading Homestead last year and spun out on pit road. They can hit it at any point in time and go win the championship.
Wow.
Like they're still above the cut line right now, are they not?
Yes.
Yeah, so by like
I don't know, like
3 points or something very minimal.
You just have to be in it. Right.
So you feel like Truex, even though for the last 7 weeks has been a shell of themselves.
Doesn't matter.
I've never believed that in sports, that you can flip a switch after almost 2 months of average performance at best and go out and be lights out.
Well, you don't have to be lights out.
Like
right?
By week with this car.
That's why the system's set up the way it is you don't have to be lights out. You can get there by 1 point to Phoenix and hit it right. And that's kudos to NASCAR for making the regular series champ have so many extra points, because that's what makes wanting to win that so important. And that's what's carried them this far. So, like, I'm not counting him out yet. Good luck to them. Best wishes. I don't know. I'm not counting them out yet.
Well, I am.
Okay.
I thought you weren't. You are.
Yeah, I am.
I kind of feel like that goose is cooked, too. Although I will say this, the guy I thought was going to take his spot at Phoenix, Tyler Reddick, did not have the day that he said he was going to. He kind of called his shot. I mean, he told me, he was like, we're going to win Vegas. Mm-hmm. And they were never close to doing that.
Maybe in March.
He wasn't bad.
We'll be going back in a couple months.
He ran in the top 10 all day as well, but it's just...
Can't be good. Got to be great.
The 20 car, you know, doing what he did really put a lot of people in a bad spot.
I think he could have wrecked the 5 coming to the checkered.
Watching it back, if he would have stuck it like
in
to
the middle,
top,
I think he could have went the middle.
Yeah. Let me give you a cold take or a hot take or a lukewarm take. I'm more nervous for the 11 than I am the 19, because the 19 team does not run on momentum, right? The 11 team does, and they've lost it. And I think when Denny loses momentum, he starts the search, and that's when it gets bad. I think when things are good, there's nobody better than Denny Hamlin. But when things are like get a little bit sideways or there's some adversity, I don't know that he's the best at getting through that, especially like this stretch of the season. If it starts getting tough, it's like that talk might start creeping in his head. Haven't won a championship yet. This year's got to be the year. We got to be perfect. And that's when you have the mistakes. But, like, they're only, like, plus two. They're single digits from the cut line.
Yeah.
And the 20 car, who's run the best out of all of them and is on the pole every freaking week and starting to put it together.
Dude, knock on the door. That is not a lukewarm or cold take. That is a hot take, sir, and I'm here for it.
It depends on.
Wow.
Steamy.
So
steamy pile of takes.
You think he may – so is that another way of saying, like, he peaked too soon? Because he was so hot coming in to the playoffs. Mm. I mean, he didn't have a finish worse than fifth for, like, I think the first round and a half. Maybe got through the first two rounds.
It's not like when you go, I beat all your drivers. I beat your favorite driver, all of them. And then 2 weeks later, you finish last and someone puts the meme out. You got beat by your favorite driver, all of them. Right, like that's
mistress.
It's tough, man. It's
the internet remains undefeated too.
Momentum is a cruel mistress, And when it shifts the other way, it can be detrimental. And I think it'd be more detrimental for Denny Hamlin than it will for James Small and Martin Truex. Because Martin Truex in a tree stand, he's like, all right, man, yep.
Like actions detrimental for Denny?
Could be.
I saw what you did there.
I don't.
You know what else could be detrimental? Woes.
Ooh, and there was some this week.
There was a couple woes. Let's get down to a breakdown, boats and woes right after this.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Do your pennies stretch as far as they used to? Most likely it doesn't. Here's why. It took 200 years for the U.S. to print its first $5 trillion. Today, Washington has done that in just 3 years. The problem, every new dollar makes each one of your dollars worth less, robbing you and every other hardworking American. But you can stop this cycle of robbery by diversifying your IRA or 401k into gold, an asset that has stood the test of time. Our new sponsor, Birch Gold Group, has helped tens of thousands of Americans protect their retirement savings with physical precious metals. Now you can too. Get a free info kit on gold right now by texting the word Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, to 989-898. With an A-plus rating with the BBB, you're in good hands with Birch Gold. So get your free info kit by texting Corey to the number 989-898. Go check them out. Put some pennies in some gold. Pit Road Boats and Woes. One big one. The wheel on the 54 took a little ride.
Bad deal.
Yeah, I heard he did a historical burnout leaving pit road after that two-lap penalty.
Hey, man. Like, we get it.
Was it big?
Yeah, I don't know, but like –
said he grabbed second gear and just dragged the front brake and roasted him for like 15 pit boxes.
It's his cousin. That's family business.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it was Jackson.
Oh, tough no. Deal. Thanksgiving's going to be – tough.
But like, you don't have to do a burnout like that. We get it. So wheel fell off. We understand we did a bad job here. Like,
well, just in case you didn't remember,
on your team.
Why don't you tell me somebody was having a bad day with the old car with the right side pipes coming out? And if might have not been you, somebody was changing rear tires, so the exhaust is blowing right on you. It's probably Kurt Busch. I'm just going to assume.
Yeah, probably most likely.
And just comes in and puts it in neutral and just stands it on the chip. The entire time the guy's trying to change the right rear tire.
Yeah, it's like, hey, man, we get it. We're having a bad day. Like,
sometimes it feels good to just watch the RPM bounce off the chip.
It's
soothing.
If it makes you feel better.
It does. It doesn't make the engine shop feel better, though. Shout out Hendrick Motors.
Not great for the valve springs.
It's not.
You know it's not great?
No, tell me.
I'm trying to have a nice Dogs of the Week pit crew segment.
Yeah.
Highlight some pit crew guys.
Yeah.
And the six car is just raining on my parade. Double dogs.
Double dogs? They're just stinking up the show.
Stinky. Yeah, they were the dogs last week, and they crushed it this week. They're in a heater 2 weeks in a row.
Mm.
Yep. So, I mean.
Wow. Is that the first time we've ever had back-to-back dogs? Double dogs?
The first dueling dogs, if you will.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
what numbers get you a double dog? What'd they do that you went, whoa?
Mostly eights and nine and put themselves in position to win a race. Yeah, so I think they had an 8-second average. It's probably the best average that...
ever in the history of NASCAR.
I mean, I'm not handing out accolades. That's for...
But we're handing out dog chains.
Yeah, I mean, they would get a chain at the kickball tournament for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Name them fellas again.
The first, the dog, the coot dog, same as last week, Steve Price.
Ooh.
Lynchburg, Virginia. Coot dog.
Dog.
Yeah, so him and Johnny Roberts, front changer.
The dog.
Yeah, so Telvin McClurkin, which I couldn't last week when we did this. I couldn't get his name. McClurkin.
McClurkin.
McClurkin
dog.
Yeah, he's a stud. Brad Robinson, their gas man, the one that, who's the meme. Like I said, we talked about him last week. But the one who's really been special, I want to point this out, Dustin Linebeck.
Dog.
Here on a half shell.
Yes.
And his, like, when you look at kind of numbers, I think everybody's looking at his numbers, you know, for the jackman position. I think he's really, they're all really good, but he's kind of taken it to the next level. Everybody, every jackman on pit road is watching what he's doing.
Is that just footwork around the car?
You can see, like, you can see these metrics of, like, when the car stops to the, when it's off the ground, and he's, like, 2 or 3 tenths ahead of everybody. And there's just a bunch of things that he's doing quite a bit better than, and right now, right, it's not a lot. The 20 car came in leading and did a 9.3 and lost two spots.
Wow.
Right, to an 8.8 from the 6 car and a 9 flat from the 5 car.
From the first box.
From the first, which the first box isn't, like, super advantageous at Vegas. Well, it also goes from concrete to asphalt, so you don't get a ton of grip, and it's a little bit further away where, like, other places it's right in front of your pit box. I could argue that a couple places. Martinsville would be another one. But, yeah, like, to do a 9.39 or whatever they did and get, then lose two spots and control the race, like, you did your job. You just got beat.
Yeah.
And that's where, the six guys, you see this a lot. It's like baseball. When people get on a heater, dude, these guys are on a heater. And
what would be the potential of them making a change?
Ooh, I don't know. 17's been strong, too, and there's so much more that goes into it. But it's not, it hasn't, you know, it's been done before. You know, the 22 car made a pit crew change this race last year, after this race last year, and went on to win a championship. And that is something that, as a, in a pit department, you don't take lightly, especially right now. But they're ripping.
Hypothetically.
Okay.
If they happen to be the undisputed triple dogs and they lay a heater down and continue their run this week, if you're RFK, do you put those guys on the 17 in Martinsville?
If you're an unprecedented triple dog, you might not have a choice.
Yeah.
So
A triple dog dare you
to put them on the playoff car. Can't,
yeah, but don't do it like at Phoenix. That would be weird. Like, give them one to get acclimated, right? Like, give them Martinsville.
If you're going to be a dog, you'll be a dog all the time.
I know, but you said a lot goes into it. I'm just thinking that's a lot of pressure to put those
for a finale. You only got one dog in the fight.
That's true.
The 17 guys, like, for all intents and purposes, have been great all year too, right? But, yeah, double dogs of the week. Stop raining on my parade, because if you're the triple dogs next week, I'm going to be running out of shit to talk about.
Yep. We're going to have to start giving it to Les, strength and conditioning coach out there.
Homestead this weekend, tight pit road. Going to be a pit competition again. Only 6 pit stops last year, but the freaking pit wall here is so tall and so wide that rolling tires and getting them to where they need to go is going to be important. But, yeah, I'm excited to get down there, get after it. Another.
Miami's great, man.
Yeah, another.
Congrats to
another,
those 8-second dogs.
Yeah,
congrats. Those pastel guys. Blue walls, I just don't like them, though. I don't like pastel paint, but more on that later. And more on Zane Smith, because he's waiting in the wings. We're going to have the full interview dropping on Thursday this week, so you don't want to miss that. We're going to give you guys a little bit of a clip out from that one. We sat down with Mr. Zane Smith, going cup racing, but also in pursuit of his back-to-back Truck Series titles. So we can get to talk to him a little bit. Stick around right after this.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
For me, race day is a great reason to shut down the laptop, put the phone on silent, and simply enjoy the driving. But Mobile One wants to remind you that you can get that same kind of escape any day of the week. How? By simply hopping in your car, rolling the windows down, and hitting the road. No emails, no calls, no work, just freedom. Mobile One, for the love of driving. All right, guys, right here in the Stack and Penny Studios, we are joined by the 2022 Truck Series champion. A lot of news around this guy joining us right here, Mr. Zane Smith.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Clap. Yeah. How's it going?
Good, good. Happy to be here.
Happy to have you. Been trying to line this up for a long time. Yeah. Came out, supported kickball. First off, how was your kickball experience?
It was lovely. I haven't won something in a while, so
game-winning RBI kicker. This guy,
something
too.
Like that. I kicked three of them, and two of them were out. So
didn't matter because the last one was what brought home the win off of our other teammate next year's face, Carson Hocevar.
Yeah, I love it. It could have been more perfect. So
he ran in front of that NFL guy.
Yeah, I know. He got trampled.
In front of him, and then it bounced off his face. Don't feel bad. Bob Pockers caught two of my pop flies last year.
There's a gold medal right there. Read and weep.
I sat mine on my kitchen island just to remind myself we could still get some dubs.
Still in there.
Yeah.
You're not even a year removed from being a Truck Series champion. So where'd the confidence go, man? You got to muster that thing up for Homestead this weekend.
The confidence is still there. It's just been a struggle of ups and downs this year of trying to finish them off, and I found myself in a must-win situation now going into Homestead. So hopefully we could go do what we did a couple years ago.
Man, you've been a busy guy this year. Several Xfinity races, several Cup races, some with Front Row, some with Rick Ware last year, right? No Rick Ware races this year. Do you think that additional load took anything away from the Truck Series championship run?
No, not at all. I feel like if anything made me better, I feel like just racing on Sunday, you learn so much in just one race. So I don't feel like that's the case at all. And I feel like with the Truck Series schedule is 22, 23 races a year. And so especially when the playoffs come around, you have one race and then you wait 3 weeks and then race again. So I've tried to put some Cup races in between those big breaks to keep me fresh. And I feel like it's done so. It's just I've been a not great playoff run, but we've had the speed. We have the team to go do it. And like you said, we did it last year, so no reason we can't go get another.
Now, there was a lot of conversation. You were the number one prospect, but you were tied up with your current Truck Series team owner, Front Row Motorsports. Bob Jenkins won him a championship last year. There was a lot of conversations going on behind the scenes.
Pro Sport Management.
So those guys were the ones having the conversations. And almost in the 11th hour, it seemed like Front Row picks up McDee's contract. Front Row picks up Todd's contract, which left you the odd man out. Yep. Did that instantly unlock your free agent potential to go be the hottest girl at the dance and everybody want to dance with you?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I saw my future at FRM for where the position I was at, and the conversations that we had had, it was the same. We're all on the same page, but I had kept hearing there was interest, and I'd have people pull me aside and try to talk about it, and wasn't able to talk about it. And then once that came about, it was like, all right, let's figure out what we're going to go do. And I had multiple people of great offers come and have serious conversations about it. But we were running into the problem of, I feel like it wasn't that it was so late. It's just that people are under contract right now. There's not a lot of room at other places. And my offers for 25 and beyond were awesome. Everything I've ever wanted, but it was, okay, well, what do I do in 24? And I didn't want to really run another year of trucks. I feel like I don't want to get stuck there, and I want to be racing on Sunday. The Xfinity car is probably the most fun to drive, but I don't think it's teaching you anything. I just feel like they're not even close at all to the Cup car. So I wasn't so sure about that, and I just really wanted the Cup experience. Like, just racing on Sunday, the atmosphere, everything in between, pit road, all the small things, all the big things, it's just a different level. And just wanted to experience that for 38 weeks or whatever. So, yeah, fortunately, got that opportunity once Trackhouse came about. And there were some crazy offers. There were offers of, hey, what do you think of possibly racing the V8 supercars in Australia, because you could do a whole year of racing because their season is opposite of us. So I'm like, man, I'm not throwing that offer away, but it was just like brief, quick talks. It was nothing too serious, but it came about, and I think it'd be really cool. But I mean, you're driving on the wrong side of the car there,
bro.
Which SVG came and kicked our butts, but I feel like I don't know how that would really be preparing me. So fortunately, once I had that with Trackhouse, and they had said that Spire is possibly going to be doing this and this and this, it really caught my attention. And so obviously see how you run, and just with the new cup car, it's as even as it's been, and it's the quality of people that you put on it. And so I felt like with Trackhouse having some skin in the game there, I felt like there was a lot of opportunity there.
How much of your contract with Front Row was Front Row, and how much of it was Ford? Like, was, because there's a lot
all
of
Front Row.
It was all Front Row. You didn't have a Ford deal at all.
Nope.
Okay. Because that's what we kind of talked about. Like, man, with kind of the 10 car and all that stuff, we were.
Yeah. Well, Ford had done a ton for me just with my short time there. And we had talks of trying to figure out a solution. But once again, there just wasn't nothing there. And so it was just kind of my circumstances that fell about, and it landed me at Trackhouse.
Now, how it didn't seem like when those dominoes fall, it felt like it was a couple dominoes right back to back. Spire buys a charter, which almost allowed Trackhouse to pull the trigger on doing a deal with you because they had a place to put you for 24.
Right.
How quick did those conversations come about when those dominoes started to fall?
Well, I was talking to multiple people while I was talking to Trackhouse at this time, and it was probably 2 weeks, I'd say, of just a grind of staying on the phone. And I had a notepad of weighing out the pros and cons of every single team. And
it works, doesn't it?
It does.
I do that every time you got a big decision to
exactly.
make in life.
And I had talked to the people that really matter a lot to me in the sport and have a good insight. And it was a mixed bag. I was getting nowhere. And I don't know, my gut was at the time just with the Trackhouse, and still is. So then, yeah, once I had a meeting with Ty Norris, he had mentioned this Spire deal that was coming about, and I just felt like, all right, well, this kind of checks all the boxes of what I wanted, so I did it.
Makes it hard to not want to be a Trackhouse when you walk by their trucks at the track, and they got
they
the
got
neon
those sweet
lights. And
LED lights.
Yeah, videos
they
playing
have
on the back.
Best picture yeah. you've ever seen of Ross Chastain on the back. I'm
had
like, Jesus, damn, Ross Chastain.
Yeah, how do you make Ross
superhero?
And then they got country music singers
imagine
playing.
How good this guy's going to look on the back of that LED board.
Superhero.
This guy looks like a race car driver.
Captain America.
He does.
That's funny you say that. So when you say he looks like a race car driver, I remember going the first time I ever saw you race, because you, Noah, and Riley kind of were like three amigos, kind of all came here at the same time, yep. But we went to Concord.
Hang on. Pause that thought. Could we dig into that a little bit of you and Riley Herbst?
Noah and all them, yep.
Yeah,
for sure.
So all from Vegas or Southern California area, right? Trophy
yeah, they,
trucks.
Yeah, Riley and Noah are from Vegas. I'm from Huntington Beach, California. So I always get mistaken. I'm from Vegas, but besides Irwindale, the Bull Ring at Las Vegas was my home track. Really, I raced there every single weekend. I've known Riley since. I'm sure people have seen that picture a bunch of me and him when we're, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. Racing trophy cards.
You guys
carts
look the
together.
Exact same, too.
I don't look any older. No.
So, yeah, I mean, it was, it's been cool to grow together and end up racing at the top level of NASCAR. I mean, we were all coming out here racing the summer shootout together, literally touring these NASCAR shops, collecting diecast cars.
That's sweet.
So,
first off, well, coming to my mind, wellness check on Riley. Is he doing okay after his big
yeah.
win on Saturday?
Yeah.
Has anybody heard from him?
Yeah, I went to dinner with him last night and with Noah as well. And so he's doing good. Had a good
time.
Weekend. Yeah, which as he should have.
No, Dad, I was so pumped up. Okay.
So, but you three raced together quite a bit. It's like, yep. Did you grow up around Noah too?
Yep. So
how many times did you have to punch Noah in the hauler when you were growing up?
So, yeah, I guess when. So they all live in the same neighborhood, right? And when I would come into town, I would stay at Riley's house, and Riley and Noah were friends, I guess, before Noah and I were friends, right? And they went to the same school together, and I'd come into town, we'd play NASCAR in sideline at like Riley's house, and I met Noah. And yeah, I mean, he was exactly the same. Like, I always use this like reference of you go to Noah's old house, and he's a sister, and like her room is like perfectly clean. The whole house is like gorgeously clean. and you go to Noah's and it's a train wreck. Like the shower stickers all over the, like just a mess, like random people coming into his room and just signing the wall, like the gardener signing the wall. Like it's just Noah. And so anyways, we just all kind of became friends. Noah at the time was racing Bandoleros for another team. And Riley was as well. And I was racing Legend Cars. And then we got into Legend Cars and we all became just a one team. And so how the bullring does it is like Young Lion and semi-pro and then pro and whatnot. And they were in Young Lion and I was in pro at that time. And we did that for a few years and then made our transition to the East Coast and just tried racing out here. We raced a lot more.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Time for Penny for Your Thoughts, Corey. This week's question comes from a fan at Dusty Worthy. What makes it easier for a team to have success in Xfinity Series versus the Cup Series when they are battling the same big teams in both series? An example would be SHR and colleague.
That is not a small answer. I think that the depth of engineering and resources, particularly to key partner teams, is what has colleague kind of buried, you know, in a mid-tier Cup program. They're not a key partner Chevy team, so they're getting similar resources and information that we're getting. So you're always a little bit behind there trying to catch up. They have a little bit of a technical alliance with RCR, but still you're only getting what they're willing to give you. SHR is just having a tumultuous year.
Coming off that big one with Riley, though.
Yeah, obviously an Xfinity Series. Congrats to Riley.
But yeah, on the Cup side,
is not what we're used to seeing out of those guys.
I'll give you a short answer.
Give me it.
Cup racing's way harder. Hendrick doesn't Xfinity race, and Penske doesn't Xfinity race anymore. And
Hendrick dabbles.
With their juniors, but it's not the same.
I thought the 17 Xfinity car, the HendrickCars.com Xfinity car, came out of Hendrick.
When Hendrick goes, when they go to Xfinity racing, there is one cannon facing that car. When you are racing against Hendrick Motorsports in the Cup Series on a Sunday, all the cannons are facing your direction, right? And there's just a infinite amount of depth and people and focus on the Cup program.
Cannonballs, if you will.
Big cannonballs.
They got a lot of cannonballs in those cannons.
Dude, a lot of cannonballs.
Yep. Hard to dodge them.
Yeah, I think that's just what it is. If you are a little bit off in the Cup Series, you will be 20th. If you're a touch off more than a little bit, then you're going to be 30th. It's not very hard to be dead last in the Cup Series right now if you have an off day. So that is the short answer. Cup Series is just way harder.
Yep.
That's what I got.
Thanks, Dusty. That was a good question. And time now. We have a couple good submissions this week, so it's going to be hard for you to choose. Who's your Penny Stacker of the Week?
So Penny Stacker of the Week, I forgot the gift that he gave me in the hauler. I forgot to bring it today. I believe you met him as well. Shout out Christopher Berry from Las Vegas. He's the Penny Stacker of the Week. He printed out earlier this year. We did a stepbrothers posed picture with Ryan and I. With
I
Stack
thought
and
it
Penny.
Was nice.
So he made it, he framed it.
Cute.
So we're going to put it as set decor when I grab it from the shop. And he also gave me, I signed it. I believe you signed it as well.
Yeah.
And he brought me a 1999 Phoenix Racing, Randy LaJoy, Bob Evans diecast car.
Nice.
So because he noticed in the backdrop, in between all these Circle B diecasts that we have, and some Kevin Harvick Mobile 1 diecast, and mine, we don't have a Randy LaJoy one.
Oh.
Guys, is top 75 greatest driver of all time. Let's get my man a diecast car on the set. So he gave me that and a cool, I say cool, a funny large poster of Ryan and I posed as stepbrothers. Yeah. So Christopher Berry, you, sir, all the penny stacker of the week amongst some stiff competition.
Dude, Damien from Australia. Did you get to talk to him? He was cool.
I don't know.
V8 supercar, pick your guy.
Nope, didn't talk
yep,
to him.
Yep, got to talk to him. He worked with James Small. Talked to him for a while after the race. And it's just great to see, like, when you do something like this, you get people in Australia, let's do it. It's like the reach is everywhere, and they want, you know, it's good to hear our perspective. So
global
thank
dogs.
You for the feedback.
Yeah, we're all over the place, like Carmen San Diego.
Yeah.
Stacking pennies everywhere.
Just another one on stack.
You guys should forego the family Christmas card this year and just
do that one.
Tell
Happy
Kelly
holidays.
And Carissa, like, I got this. And well, just
they,
make it like
they
you and
no
Ryan
doubt
step
would
brothers.
Do one of their own together.
Well, yeah, then they, yeah, the girls can do one
they
with the kids. And then
enough.
You and Ryan send everybody your stepbrothers.
No, we don't
picture.
Need to give them any more ammo. We already get made fun of them. Yeah. All right, guys. We have a lot of great stuff in store for you as we continue to bring you the best podcast that we possibly can each and every week. Tune into Spare Change that we fire off on Sundays because there's only three more before we crown our champion on the year. And also make sure you do not forget Zane Smith in that sit-down interview. He tells us some cool stuff about his trajectory to the Cup Series. As always, continue to tweet at us, hashtag Penny, for your thoughts. Like, download, share, rate, review, all the things. And, hey, don't forget to keep stacking pennies. Presented by Mobile One. Talk to y'all next week. Bye.